What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the show. Today, we're going to talk about weighted vests. We're going to try and answer the question, should you wear a weighted vest? What are weighted vests good for? What sort of contexts and goals might they be appropriate for? How much do they help? Are they overrated? All of that good stuff. So by the end of the episode, you have a good handle on what the research says, and I'm going to break down some studies that we have on weighted vests. I'm going to inject my opinion where I feel like it's helpful, my experience with clients, et cetera. And I'll be clear about when I'm talking about my opinion versus what we see in the research. I want to start with a little introduction of why people might be using it and how they might be using it. We have a little kind of 2x2 breakdown here. Typically, people are using it for one of two reasons. They're wearing a weighted vest because it might help them lose weight in some way, and we'll talk about how that might happen, or for a bone density benefit, right? Wearing a weighted vest, extra load on my body can help me preserve or, you know, improve my my BMD, my bone mineral density. How are people using it? Well, we're typically seeing it used in two ways, and I don't mean to be overly dichotomous here. There might be some nuances to, you know, somewhere in between these two things, but at least in the research, we see what I would call chronic use and what I'm going to be calling chronic use in this episode, which refers to studies or interventions where people are wearing a weighted vest for like 8+ hours a day. The other way people seem to be using vests is kind of this, I'm going to call it, and I'm using a little air quote here, on my walks, where people are saying, I'm going to wear a weighted vest when I go out for my walk. So we have people who are using it for a weight loss goal, or for a bone density goal, and they're either taking a chronic use approach where they're wearing this for many, many, many hours of the day every day, or they're, you know, wearing a weighted vest while they go out for a walk. Those are, you can imagine that's like a 2x2. We have weight loss goal with chronic use. We have weight loss goal with, you know, while I'm out for my walk. We have bone density goal with chronic use, and we have bone density goal with, you know, wearing kind of just out on my walk. And I will say, before I investigated this and looked at and read as much of the research that's available out there, here were my thoughts. Mechanistically, this makes sense, right? With weight loss, if you wear a weighted vest, you're adding load on your body. There's some increased energy expenditure. I've read a bit about what's called the gravidostat hypothesis, which we'll go over later. And I thought, okay, you know, it's probably additive in some way, at the very least increasing energy expenditure, right? You have to work harder because you weigh more when you wear a weighted vest. It's going to take more energy to move you around. And that there might be something to what's called the gravidostat hypothesis, which we'll talk about in a second. And for bone density, again, mechanistically, it makes sense. You have extra load on the bones and joints. You know, that's going to probably lead to some sort of additive benefit when it comes to bone density. My other thought was that, you know, it's such a small stimulus, right? If you wear just like a little weighted vest with not that much weight, that's not a huge intervention in and of itself. So you probably need a certain threshold of weight and a certain threshold of hours per day. And it probably correlates with the magnitude of response, right? If you need to be wearing enough weight for it to matter and long enough for it to matter, right? Is wearing it on a walk going to do anything? I wasn't sure. My initial thought was that the more you wear it with appropriate weight, the more likely it does something. So we're going to talk about it again in the context of weight loss, both in terms of chronic use and on my walks, we'll call it. And then again for bone density with chronic use and on my walks. And then I'll give some final thoughts on when I personally may use a weighted vest for me, my clients, when I may suggest it. And overall, you know, hopefully by the end of the episode, you have a good understanding of the potential benefits and use cases. I'm not going to be talking about a weighted vest in terms of lifting, by the way. Like if you're like, hey, is a weighted vest good for lunges and pull-ups and push-ups? That just is more of a resistance training context where you're just adding load to resistance training exercises in a convenient way. And I think for that reason, weighted vests are great. If you want to use weighted vests to load up your push-ups and stuff, that's awesome. I don't think that that's contestable in any way. And I don't think that is even a unique feature of a weighted vest. It's just a way of adding load to resistance exercise, like adding weight with dumbbells or plates or barbells or cables or machines, etc. So we're going to start with weight loss, right? And I'll start with weight loss. We'll do the on my walk. We'll look at the chronic use, and then we'll go to bone density, and we'll look at on my walk, and we'll look at chronic use, and then we'll break it all down, add some context, my opinion, etc. So I want to start by explaining what the gravidostat hypothesis is, because it at least in a chronic use sense is the hypothesis for why we think it may be beneficial. And it's quite interesting, I think. So the gravidostat hypothesis is a relatively recent concept. in sort of like metabolic and obesity research, and it proposes the existence of a mechanism in the body that senses weight, specifically the force of gravity on your body, and helps regulate body fat content. Basically, the gravitational forces on your body sends a signal, we'll talk about that in a second, that in some way helps regulate body fat content. Very interesting. So how might this happen? Again, it's a hypothesis. The hypothesis is that the body's bones, particularly the weight-bearing bones of the lower body, contain specialized cells that can sense the mechanical loading caused by body weight. When these cells detect excessive weight or loading, they send signals to the brain that help us suppress appetite and reduce food intake, aka it's a defense against gaining more body fat than necessary, essentially a sort of metabolic adaptation, if you will, right? The more weight you gain, the more weight on these bones, the more signal being produced by these cells, basically communicating with your brain, hey, we don't need to eat more. There's plenty of weight on us already. I will say, still a hypothesis. Most of it is in animal data. We look at a lot of this in rodents, and it's pretty compelling. There is some recent human data that points to something like this happening in humans, which we will go over. Some people hypothesize, and by the way, this is a bit of my bias as well, but some people hypothesize that this is why when people go from sedentary to more active, they actually increase appetite regulation, which means they are actually less hungry. And that's counterintuitive. If you take a sedentary person who's getting, I'm going to make these up, I'm going to use step count as a proxy for activity level. So let's say you're getting 2,000 steps. And I said, hey, you're going to go from 2,000 steps to 8,000 steps. You might predict that that person's going to be more hungry because they're moving around more. The graphitostat hypothesis would say, well, you're spending more time moving around rather than sitting. And while you're moving around, you have to support your own body weight, which is actually going to help your appetite regulate. And that is actually what we see. We see people who go from sedentary to moderately active see an improvement in appetite regulation. And so, again, why would somebody go from not moving around at all to burning more calories and somehow be less hungry? It might be because that person is now having to hold their own body weight more because they're standing more instead of sitting and walking more instead of sitting, such that, you know, again, these cells are, you know, sensing the loading and sending a signal to reduce appetite. Hopefully that made some sense. That is something, by the way, I just want to be clear. That is something we do see. When people go from sedentary to moderately active, we see an improvement in appetite regulation. And the gravitostat hypothesis might be just something baked into or a mechanism that would explain that outcome. So let's talk about weight loss in the context of wearing a weighted vest kind of just out on your walk. Now, there is flat out no research on this, right? There is some research, and we'll get to that in a second, but there's no research on a weight loss as an endpoint, really, where it's like they just took one group and one group wore it out on the walks and the other person didn't. They followed them for 10 weeks. And we'll talk about why that isn't really a thing. I think there's good reason for not studying that. So instead of finding weight loss outcome data, looking at people just wearing a weighted vest when they go out and walk the dog, so to speak, what we should look at, and what I think is logical to look at, is energy expenditure studies. Basically, do we have research that shows how many more calories you burn per minute, how many extra calories you burn per minute, per hour, when you wear a weighted vest? And that we can kind of use a bit as a proxy for, might this help me, you know, create an energy deficit and lose some weight if I'm just wearing these on my walks? Now, I will say this whole gravitostat hypothesis is likely not a factor in this context due to the fact that you're not wearing the vest very long. You're just wearing it when you go out for a walk. It's not like that you're wearing it for 8, 10 plus hours per day, like we'll talk about in a second. So we have two studies to look at. The first is a 2021 paper by Gaffney in CrossFitters, 10 men and 10 women, and they took these 20 people and took them through some ramp-up tests. Basically, they started them with a slow walk and worked them up to a run. Men wore a 20-pound vest, women a 14-pound vest. I think that's like a standard CrossFit, what you would wear in a CrossFit competition. And they were just looking at, if we are just looking at flat walking, right? So flat walking, think it was at a 2.5 mile per hour, I think, or maybe they were just told to walk intuitively. Wearing a weighted vest increased heart rate by roughly 3 to 4 beats per minute, and burned an extra 20 calories per hour. Just want to repeat that. Heart rate, wearing a weighted vest, a 20-pound weighted vest, increased heart rate on average by 3 to 4 beats per minute, and burned an extra 20 calories per hour. I might say that's basically nothing, let's just say. I mean, basically nothing. The truth is there's even some potential energy compensation. You know, if you burn more calories during exercise, there is research that shows you burn less calories elsewhere. So even just looking at an increase in energy expenditure during a single bout of going for a walk might not yield that same net increase in energy expenditure throughout the whole day by the end of the day, because you may compensate elsewhere. But an hour of walking with a weighted vest burns you 20 extra calories. Let's just say that. Again, and I want to be clear, who knows if these are all these are averages. There's likely some different contexts for different populations, but just take those numbers. And what you should take from when I say that is that it didn't do much, right? In the study, they also looked at an increase in incline. They found that with more incline, things got harder, but even at a 10% incline, it only increased energy expenditure. The wearing a vest only increased energy expenditure by about 35 calories per hour. So if you walk on the treadmill for an hour without a weighted vest versus with a weighted vest, you'd burn, 35 calories extra with a weighted vest. If they were running, they did a running test for 30 minutes and concluded that it increased energy expenditure by 20 to 50 calories per hour. So adding a weighted vest to your run, if you go out and run for an hour, you burn an extra 50 calories. While I was already skeptical of the benefit of wearing a weighted vest out on a walk, and I'm going to keep using that phrasing as a kind of catch-all term for, I'm going to change nothing about my behaviors. I'm just going to put on a weighted vest when I go walk my dog, when I go for my walk at night. And I'm not poo-pooing that as a potential option, and we'll talk about that. But that's the context we're talking about. When I say on a walk, I mean you leave the weighted vest by the door. Every time you go out for a walk, you put it on. It seems to not do much, right? Then we have a study by Kravitz in 2013. Hysterical. The guy's last name is Kravitz, first name Len. Len Kravitz, amazing. 2013, 13 women, right? Hey, women here. I'm joking. There's just like a big movement of frustration that women are underrepresented in the research, which is true, by the way, but it was nice. This is a woman-only study here. 13 women performed a standardized walking test, right? So they did 4 minutes at 0 incline, 5 incline, 10 incline, and 15 incline on a treadmill at 2.5 miles per hour. So 2.5 miles per hour, 4 different incline settings. They also had 3 different weighted vest conditions. No weighted vest, 10% body mass. So if you weigh 200 pounds, it's a 20-pound vest. And 15% body mass. Their conclusion, I'm going to read it verbatim. When walking at a 0% grade, there is no significant difference in metabolic cost of wearing no vest and wearing a 10% body mass weighted vest. While walking at 2.5 miles per hour, an untrained female would have to wear a weighted vest of about 15% body mass for a significant change in caloric expenditure. A 15% body mass weighted vest increased energy expenditure during the walk by 12%. So, me just doing some super rough back of the envelope math, let's just say for every 1% extra pound of your body mass that you have in the vest, you'll burn a little less than 1% extra calories. So if you wear a 10% weighted vest, you get like 8% extra calories burned. Excuse me. If you're a 200-pound person and you wear a 20-pound weighted vest and you go out for a walk, you might burn 8% extra calories on that walk. But again, walking doesn't really burn a lot of calories per minute. So it's not a huge boost here. It's got a similar feeling to the previous study of, hey, you burn a little bit more, but nothing major. I'd say from my reading, most studies cap out at around 10%. This study looked at 15% because north of 10%, when I say 10%, I mean wearing a weighted vest that is 10% of your body weight. What we see is, a non-insignificant population or percentage of the people claim joint pain, muscle pain, and swelling / discomfort. At the end of the day, is 8 to 10% extra calories on your walk a big deal? I don't know, probably not. And the my bigger point that I'll make later is that what if you wanted to burn extra calories during that time, what other things could you be doing, right? And in this paper, they made a large note at some point in the paper that the incline mattered way more. There was a nonlinear increase in energy expenditure when increasing incline, meaning increasing the incline made a much bigger difference to the energy expenditure. So they are saying, hey, if you have 30 minutes to go for a walk, instead of putting on a weighted vest and walking flat, go on an incline. It will, you know, you'll burn more calories that way. Essentially making the increase in the incline is going to increase the challenge by a lot more than a weighted vest. Now, my thoughts, energy expenditure studies are not perfect, right? There's likely some energy compensation. We can't be sure that slight increases in energy expenditure on a walk manifest in increases in total daily energy expenditure or ultimately any tangible weight loss. It doesn't seem to help much if you just wear a weighted vest out on a walk. However, it is a low cost, right? It's a one-time purchase, easy to implement habit stack that helps more than doing nothing and doesn't cost any behavior change, right? Like if the alternatives are walking on an incline, which have, you know, has its own bag of, you know, I can't do this outside potentially. And, you know, I gotta be on my treadmill and that kind of, we'll go walk my dog. You know, if you running, we'll talk more about all this stuff, but maybe I would recommend somebody go for a run or a swim or a bike, but maybe those aren't as practical. Go for a hike. Maybe that's not as practical. So if you tell me, okay, Jordan, I hear you. It doesn't do much, but it doesn't cost me much. It's easy to implement. I don't need to change any of my behaviors. Is it going to help me at all? The answer is yes, right? I'd say ideally around 10% of body mass is what we see in the research used. But we're going to talk about it in a slightly different context now. So we're going to look at weight loss with chronic use, right? So what studies out there show benefits or non-benefits of wearing a weight vest many hours per day, right? So the gravidostat hypothesis, if it exists, applies more here because you're wearing the vest for a long time. Most studies range between 7 to 10 hours per day at a roughly 10% body mass weighted vest, right? I want you to let that sink in the next time somebody talks about weighted vests and, or even bone density and they're talking about the benefits. Ask them if they're wearing it 8 hours per day. If someone's like, oh my God, weighted vests, great for weight loss. I'll tell you now, the studies that show it's good for weight loss are not the studies we just talked about. It's these studies where people were wearing their weighted vests for 7 to 10 hours per day, every day. So yeah, I would ask the person, hey, are you doing that? Because that's really where there might be some benefit. So let's look at this paper by Olson in 2020. There were 66 obese, otherwise healthy people in Sweden. They wore their weighted vest 8 hours per day for 3 weeks. This is the kind of the best study we have on this. And so I'm going to double click on this study quite a bit. 66 obese, otherwise healthy people. They wore their vest for 8 hours per day for 3 weeks. There was a heavy weighted vest group that had a weighted vest of 11% body mass. And there was a light weighted vest group that had a 1% body mass vest. So both groups wore a vest. One of them was incredibly light. The other one was 11% body mass, which is no joke. You know, that's a 200-pound person wearing 22-pound weighted vest. And that's it. That's all they did. They said, you guys, everyone wear the vests for 8 hours a day for 3 weeks. Let's see what happens. There was no nutrition intervention at all. That is a very interesting part of this paper. They did not give them calories. We're going to talk in the bone density section about some studies. They did not talk about nutrition with these people. They just said, go wear the vest. Now, what I would say is, it's hard to say that, like, I'm imagining this study, and if you know if you have the light vest, you know if you have the heavy vest, right? If you give me a 22-pound heavy vest, I know that I'm in the heavy vest group. And I know if you give me a 1 pound vest that I'm not in, that I'm the control group essentially. And so I think it's hard to say that this is it's an impossible study to blind, right? You can't blind the group who's wearing the heavy vest. They know they're wearing a heavy vest. So I don't want to poo-poo the study. I think it's super cool, but I bet you the people who got the heavy vest, it wouldn't surprise me if they were also more motivated knowing that they had the heavy vest to make some other changes, let's say, right? I mean, like if you give one group an empty vest and one group a heavy vest, yeah, the group with the heavy vest might be like, just a little motivated by that, and maybe they made some more changes. But we don't know that at all. All I'm saying, it's tough to blind this study. You can't blind people to the weight of the vest, right? And I'll make another point about this potential motivation of wearing the vest in a second. So what did they find? They found that, again, 3 weeks, 8 hours a day. They found that the high load group lost 1.63% of their body weight. They lost about 2 kilograms across 3 weeks, which is like 4 pounds, a little bit more than 4 pounds in 3 weeks. Again, without any nutrition intervention. They also gained fat-free mass, right? So they lost 4 pounds and they gained fat-free mass. That's pretty cool. They gained muscle, essentially. What I would say is 37% of the people reported something along the lines of joint pain, muscle pain, lower limb pain, or swelling. So that is kind of a nod to, hey, is this practical 8 hours a day? And this is only 3 weeks, right? What if you keep wearing it and keep wearing it and keep wearing it? At what point is that 37%, 73%, right? We don't know. The low load group wearing a 1% body mass vest, so a 200-pound person has a 2-pound vest, lost about 1 pound over 3 weeks. They lost 1 pound. They also lost fat-free mass. Now, the people in the high load group, it's not that they gained a lot of fat-free mass. It's that they lost more weight and gained a little fat-free mass. The other group lost less weight and lost fat-free mass. So that's worse on both ends. Now, what are my thoughts? My thoughts are, it's intriguing, right? The heavier vest group lost more weight and gained fat-free mass. What I would say is these were sedentary, obese people. So, I'm not super duper surprised that even just adding the load of a weight vest was enough for them to gain some muscle, right? If you take somebody who's very untrained, to me, that's going to be enough for somebody to build muscle. So I'm not mega surprised on that front, but still interesting. What I would say is while the lack of blinding, right, you can't blind people to whether or not they have a heavy or light vest, while some people might see that as a confounder, which it is technically, I kind of say whatever, man. Like, even if the motivation to do other stuff is a reason why that group did better, great, man, great. Like, we take it, you know what I mean? Like, if wearing a weighted vest motivates you, it's like taking your BCAAs. BCAAs don't do anything if you eat enough protein. But if somebody feels good having their BCAAs, they take their BCAAs, it motivates them to drink more water, it motivates them to, try hard in the gym, great. We take it, it's kind of this placebo, like, we take it, So ultimately, if you can manage it, wearing a weight vest, 8 hours a day, if you don't feel like that's not practical, then I see the merit. Remember, these people had no nutrition intervention at all. So if you're doing this in conjunction with trying to improve your nutrition, maybe trying to walk more and sleep better and drink less caffeine and work out, like, I think it's a useful addition in the context of chronic use. Is it practical though, right? A 20-pound weighted vest for a 200-pound person, 8 hours a day. I don't know. Only you can say. We will look at a different use case for weighted vests in a second. Typically, the protocol is you add weight to the weighted vest as you lose weight. So it's like, hey, when I lose 5 pounds, I add 5 pounds to the vest. And 6 pounds, I put a 6th pound in. 7 pounds, it's almost like, so you can maintain the same mechanical loading of your bones as you lose weight. That might be less painful, right? Because these people wore an 11-pound body mass vest right away, out of nowhere. There was no gradual introduction to it. So it might be the case that a protocol of add weight as you lose weight to the vest might be less painful because you're just kind of easing into it. My other thought as I was just going through these studies is, what do people do after they've lost weight, right? Do they, let's say you lost 30 pounds and you're like wearing a 30-pound weighted vest now, or whatever, you lost 30 pounds, you're wearing a 20-pound weighted vest. Do you taper gently off the weighted vest? Are you saying, hey, well, slowly I'll take 1 pound out every week or something? I'm making that up. But to me, that would make sense. If the gravidistat hypothesis is working, I wouldn't want to eliminate that stimulus from my bones. I'd want to gradually eliminate it so I don't have to wear a weighted vest for the rest of my life. So quick summary on weight loss. It seems that wearing it more helps more. Wearing it less helps less. Chronic use shows some promise, but has practical issues of needing to wear it 8 hours a day. During exercise doesn't seem to make a big difference. And I would make a case that I'd rather see people go faster, right? Consider running or run walk, maybe use an incline, go hiking, use some hills. But adding a vest requires no change at all to your walking routine, and it can help a tiny bit. But I just think the biggest issue that I see is the opportunity cost, right? What are you doing this? You're wearing a weighted vest. Are you doing that in addition to other really good stuff? Or are you putting your hopes in that the weighted vest will do this big thing such that you're not doing other stuff? Again, I personally think if you're fit and able, you should strongly consider running or doing like run walk, some sort of intervals to increase energy expenditure, or walking on an incline or hiking. If you are otherwise unable to do those things, you don't want to hike. And I'm going to talk about that towards the end a little bit more, of this idea of like the actual context and decision-making process I might go through if I was going to use one. So I'll pin that for a second. But I can't say that, hey, I want to burn some more calories, that I would immediately go to, hey, just wear a weighted vest on your walks. That is further down the list than the interwebs might make you think, I would say. So we're going to talk about bone density. So I want to talk quickly about the mechanism by which the weighted vest might be helpful for bone density. And I'm going to simplify it because there's a lot here and I'm not a bone density expert, but what we're looking at is a mechanism called mechanotransduction, which is essentially when the bones experience mechanical loading, like during lifting or from wearing a weighted vest, cells called osteocytes, they sense that strain and they convert that signal or that sensation into biochemical signals. Those signals activate what are called osteoblasts. Osteoblasts are like the bone building cells. And that signal, they send other signals that suppress osteoclasts, which are the bone resorbing cells. Basically shifting the balance towards net bone formation, right? And that's more than enough for now. Essentially, loading your bones is good for improving bone density. It's like loading your joints makes them stronger. Loading your muscles makes them stronger. It provides the stimulus that tells your body, hey, we should make this thing stronger. So we're going to talk about bone density in the context of just wearing it when you go for a walk. And then we're going to talk about bone density with chronic use. So we have one study from Regani in 2012. Basically, it took 36 sedentary postmenopausal women with osteoporosis, right? So we have to at least limit our findings to this population, at least to a little bit. We'll talk about that. They did 30 minutes of walking 3 times a week, right? So they did cardio 3 times a week, and they wore somewhere between a 4 to 8% body mass vest. So not quite that 10%, not near that 15% mark, but somewhere between 4 and 8%. And they had 3 groups, one group that just walked, no vest, one group that walked with a vest, and one control group that did nothing. And it was a 6-week study. Now, what did they find? There was not much difference between people who walked and people who walked with the vest, except in scores of stability and balance. They did like 3 different balance tests, and all 3 of them were significantly better in the weighted vest group, even though what they're basically saying was, 6 weeks of wearing a weighted vest didn't change any of the markers of increase in bone density. Now, that's not surprising. This isn't a robust enough stimulus, like a stimulus to time ratio, right? It's only 30 minutes 3 times a week. The vest isn't that heavy, and it's only 6 weeks. And so I'm not surprised. There are some things where like they looked at like bone synthesis, markers of bone resorption. And yes, both groups, the walking and the walking plus vest, saw an increase in bone synthesis and a decrease in bone resorption, but the increases weren't statistically significant. So all in all, I kind of was like, by the time I was done reading this, I was like, yeah, like 6 weeks, only a 4 to 8% vest, only walking three times a week for 30 minutes. Like, I'm not surprised this just wasn't powered enough for us to see much. But again, the biggest difference was that the weighted vest group scored better in all of the balance tests, which I'm going to make a point right now. When we talk about bone density, the people in the research that are like, well, what do we care about with bone density? What we care about is mostly falls and fractures. And so what I would call that is the don't fall, don't break protocol, right? We want to train in such a way that we're less likely to fall. So balance, dynamic stability. But if we do fall, we also want to train so that we don't break, or that we don't break as much, or that we recover faster from a break. So I call this a kind of a don't fall, don't break. Part of not falling is improvements in balance. Now, what I'll say is, remember that these were sedentary postmenopausal women with osteoporosis. So any loading at all, I bet, would improve balance. I would say if you're already lifting weights and doing unilateral training, like unilateral leg training, you're probably covering this sort of like loading-based improvements in balance. So I don't think if you're already doing some good lifting that you should run out and get a weighted vest because you think you're going to get this like big boost in balance. Like these people were doing nothing. So adding a weighted vest gave them a stimulus. You might see if you're already doing something. Another study in 2003, 18 postmenopausal women, average 70 years old. I don't think I had the age of the other one, but postmenopausal puts it in the ballpark. 18 postmenopausal women, average age 70. There was an exercise group and a control group. So one group that had an exercise intervention, another group that had nothing. The exercise group did 32 weeks of 3 times a week, 1 hour of lifting, walking, stair climbing, and balance work. The exercise group saw improvements in femoral neck bone density and balance and lost some weight, the control group compared to the control group. Like, again, to me, this isn't the best study because they were, it wasn't just going out for a walk. This is a group that is doing lifting and walking and stair climbing and balance work while wearing a weighted vest. So yeah, if you tell me wearing a weighted vest while you lift and walk and stair climb led to increases in bone density, I would agree with that totally. If it was just going out for a walk, would I, again, we'll get to my final thoughts on all this. Do I think it would matter? I think it would be additive, right? I think it's better than, it would provide some stimulus, absolutely, more than zero, but I don't think it would be as robust. I mean, this study saw benefits, I'd say, because of the resistance training emphasis of at least the lifting and the stair climbing. This makes this a more powered intervention, in my opinion. So really quick, my thoughts on wearing your weighted vest out for a walk for bone density benefits. There's probably a reason that we don't have a lot of studies where we're studying people who just wear it out for a walk, right? Like, is it a negative wearing the weighted vest? No, of course. It's only a negative if you're doing it instead of other stuff because you think it's mega powerful and you don't need to worry about lifting or any of that stuff. Most studies that are looking at this include lifting and jumping, which that makes sense. That's what I would do too. If I want to make a high-powered protocol, a high-powered intervention to see some bone mineral density increases, we are lifting weights and doing some plyometrics, right? It's just a better protocol. So I don't, And the fact that we have a ton of research on protocols like that, and we don't have a lot of research on protocols of just wearing it when you go out for a walk, it kind of signals at least the industry consensus that this is probably not a thing you just do when you go out for a walk and nothing else if your goal is bone density. So again, I think it's additive, right? I don't think this is taking away from anything as long as you aren't putting all your eggs in that basket and doing something else, right? If you are physically able, I suspect the better bet is to do a combination of going faster, running. Again, when I say running, I don't mean just going out for a run. I mean just doing a run-walk protocol, doing some intervals, some jogging, some sprinting. But if you want to make things harder and you want to see better improvements in bone density and you're looking at kind of what do I do with my cardio time, I'd rather you go faster, use more incline, add in some plyometrics versus just walking with a vest. Although I will say for the 100th time, it is such an easy thing to implement. It doesn't cost any change to your behavior. You just live your completely normal life and you add a weighted vest when you go for a walk. Is it additive? Probably. Does it do a lot? I doubt it. And of course, traditional resistance training combined with balance and plyometrics, probably your best bet for bone density and balance. Probably best for this whole like, don't fall, don't break. And I'll talk more about plyometrics in the coming months, but I think plyometrics are great and they're good, but I still think you get a lot of those balance benefits from, you know, good quality lower body resistance exercise. So you know, my final thoughts are, hey, what the hell, throw a weighted vest on when you go for a walk if you don't want to run or hike or do plyos, and it's probably additive, but shit, please lift weights. If you want to look at some studies that look at lifting and bone mineral density, I would check out the Lift More trial from 2018. They looked at a protocol of 2 times per week, 30 minutes resistance training. Yes, only 2 times per week, 30 minutes. We can also look at the Snow trial from 2000. It was a 5-year trial, looked at a combination of lifting and jumping exercises, also saw really good bone density benefits. Now, our last section is bone density benefits with chronic use, right? And so in these studies, we're looking at somewhere between 7 to 10 hours per day, again, roughly 10% body mass weighted vest. And there's lots of research in the context of weight loss. So it's almost like the people designing these studies, my guess is, and how they say in the introduction, is that the idea is that, listen, weight loss can be beneficial. But in these populations, losing weight tends to also bring a loss in bone mineral density and muscle. And that's a big downside when it comes to fall and fracture risk, right? So it's like, hey, weight loss can be helpful. But in this population, if we don't, if we lose weight and we don't do a bunch of stuff to also maintain bone mineral density, we're going to lose that. And you know, we don't want to lose that. That's something that we want to avoid. We all want to avoid that, but specifically in populations, let's say postmenopausal women with or without osteoporosis, osteopenia, but for everyone, essentially it's like, can we keep bone density as people lose weight? We have a lot of research looking at that question. We don't have as much research on just, you know, otherwise healthy people wearing it 7-10 hours a day for bone mineral density. I think the interest is in older adults trying to lose weight, but we are nervous about losing bone density. They're mostly studies in postmenopausal women, but I suspect the mechanisms are similar. Obviously, it's just probably easier to see changes in this population and probably specifically important for this population. And the protocols typically, remember we talked before about how one group just got that 11% weighted vest and that's where they started. Most of these protocols add weight as you lose weight. So it's like, hey, you lose 1 pound, you put 1 pound on the vest. You lose 2 pounds, 2 pounds on the vest, 3 pounds, and you kind of match so that it's almost like sending a constant stagnant signal to your body that you are always the same weight, right? Hoping that it helps you maintain, you know, a slight bump in energy expenditure, but also these potential signals of appetite regulation. So we'll look at a study in 2018 by Kelleher, 37 adults, average 70 years old, 22-week weight loss intervention. One group had a weighted vest, another group did not. Both groups lost the same amount of weight, 11 kilograms. Average time spent wearing the vest was 7 hours. There was no significant changes in the difference between groups, although trends favored the vest group across the board. So maybe there weren't significant differences, but you know, even in this context, there's sometimes a difference between what would be classed as statistically significant and what might be clinically relevant, like in the real world. The loss in total hip bone mineral density was higher in the non-vest group. So the non-vest group lost more bone density at the hip. Something called BLAP increased in the vest group, but decreased in the non-vest group. If you're unfamiliar, this BALP acronym is bone-specific alkaline phosphatase, and basically it's a marker of osteoblast activity. This bone-specific alkaline phosphatase is produced by osteoblasts. Those are the cells, again, responsible for building the new bone tissue. Basically, higher levels of this BALP or BALP indicate increased osteoblast function, which is good. You know, it's, again, a marker of bone formation rate. You know, as a direct indicator of bone synthesis, elevated BALP suggests active bone formation is occurring. And again, that was increased in the vest group, but decreased in the non-vest group. So whether it reached statistical significance or not, all signs favored the weighted vest group. Now, would I have liked it to be statistically significant? They wore it for freaking 7 hours a day. Was I hoping that maybe for 22 weeks it would have a more robust benefit? Maybe. The authors noted that weight training would be better. And here's something I think is super interesting. The authors made a couple notes in the paper that weight training would be better, much better, but compliance is often low in older populations. Their quote was, "Preventing reductions in mechanical load via use of a weighted vest may offer an alternative to exercise training to attenuate weight loss associated bone loss in older adults with obesity." Long story short, they're saying, well, it's tough to get this population to resistance train consistently, right? They need a gym membership. They need to know how to use it. They have to know how to do things with good technique. They need to know about progressive overload. They need to know how to go, you know, go close to failure or whatever. They need to know how much to train, not to overdo it. So there's more barrier, more friction to getting this population to resistance train. Can we slap on a weighted vest and simulate those effects? Now, there is a paper called the INVEST trial. I spent way too long yesterday looking for the full text. I'm going to read it to you, but I'm pretty annoyed that the data on the bone mineral density stuff is not available. So we're going to go through it pretty quickly. The study design is 192 overweight adults between 60 and 85. It's a year-long trial. Everyone was given a nutritional intervention for weight loss aimed to lose 10% of their body weight over that year. And they picked that 10% mark because we typically see bone loss of about 2% for every 10% weight loss. So they kind of want to see, compared to that expectation, how well does the vest do? They had a weight loss group that had no vest. They had a weight loss plus vest group, and they had a weight loss plus resistance training. So what they were looking at and are currently looking at, and if the data comes out, I will bring it to you, was if one group trains in the gym three times a week, and they don't wear a vest any other time. Or sorry, they're not wearing a vest at all. And the other group does no resistance training, but wears a vest, you know, 8 hours per day, matching their weight lost. How does the resistance training stimulus, and their resistance training protocol is three times a week, full body. And I looked at the protocol. It wasn't bad. I mean, they only had 1 minute of rest, but wasn't terrible. So what's the bone mineral density benefit, the bone density benefit of wearing a weighted vest for 8 hours a day compared to, let's call it, three full body lifting sessions per week? They were going to measure, total hip trabecular bone mineral density. They're going to do DEXAs. They did muscle cross-sectional analysis. They did cortical thickness. They looked at physical function and strength. And their expectations were that basically the resistance training intervention and the weighted vest intervention would be incredibly similar, right? They said, we expect that the change in total hip trabecular bone mineral density for the weighted vest group will be non-inferior, which is a weird way of saying it, to the change observed within resistance training. So they're expecting the weighted vest to be as good as three times per week lifting. Now, I'd be kind of shocked if that were the case. But when you think about it, you're doing, let's say 2 to 3 hours of lifting per week, or 56 hours per week of wearing a weighted vest. When you say it that way, maybe the weighted vest holds up. Maybe. I still doubt it, though. And even if they were the same, right? Even if you get the same, dude, that means that weight training per minute is infinitely more beneficial, which we would suspect. And frankly, you could do both. I bet you if you have a group that wears the weighted vest and does the lifting, they do the best. What they have released is the weight loss results at the 12-month mark. So the study's obviously over. The weight loss group, so the group that did no vest and no strength training, they lost 9.4 pounds. The group that did weight loss plus the weighted vest lost 9 pounds. And the weight loss group plus strength training lost 11.3 pounds. Hey, they lost 2 more pounds. Is that relevant? I don't know. It's interesting, but not that interesting. I'm more interested in how did, 56 hours per week of wearing a weighted vest compare to three hours of lifting per week? I will keep you posted if I find out. So quick summary on bone density, and then I'll give my final thoughts and we'll get you out of here because I'm already overdoing this. If you're wearing your vest just when you go out for a walk, I'd say it helps more than zero, but not as much as chronic use and not remotely as much as lifting weights. But hey, whatever, it's not a hard thing to habit stack while you go for a walk. Chronic use, at least during weight loss, it seems beneficial. It's likely doing the same thing at maintenance, we just don't have as much research on that. Lifting almost certainly provides a more profound stimulus, especially per minute, but many authors rightly note that adherence / compliance for older populations in terms of resistance training is a challenge, and that this may be an alternative or to be used in conjunction with resistance training. And I'm down with that. Like I'm down that, like, if you, again, what bothers me about the weighted vest is if somebody thinks it's doing something so special that they opt out of doing something else that might be potentially more beneficial. If someone's like, hey, I'm just going to wear my weighted vest on my walks, that's great for my bone density. I don't need to lift weights. That's a scenario where I'd say it's misuse. So here are my final thoughts and when I might personally use it, and then we'll get you out of here. I'm intrigued about the chronic use for weight loss and bone density. I am. But I can connect, you know, aside from that, I can connect with the challenge of getting this population to adhere to resistance training programs. So as much as I think maybe it's a pain in the butt to wear this weighted vest, I also understand that maybe it's easier to implement that than getting to the gym and knowing how to lift weights and all that stuff. So if you're at higher risk and you can't or don't lift weights, I think a weighted vest is something to consider. Just know that you have to wear it basically all the time to get some serious benefits. And I would seek to add in some traditional resistance training alongside of this protocol, you know, as soon as possible. If you don't mind wearing it throughout the day and you really want to give yourself all the help that you can get from a weight loss perspective, I bet you there's something to the Gravistat hypothesis, but more research is needed. I mean, the research we have points to the fact that wearing the weighted vest is helpful, right? And it is, again, maybe my bias, but it is a decent explanation for why we see sedentary people see improved hunger regulation when they become more active, even though they're actually burning more calories. And this is a nod to, you know, getting your steps in. Me personally, I would use a weighted vest if I wanted to make my cardio workouts harder, but I didn't want to run, right? Like, if I want to maintain a walking gait, I don't want to jog, I don't want to run, right? I would probably opt for incline walking, as it has a more profound increase in the difficulty and thus the energy expenditure and the calories burned. But maybe I'm at a max incline. Right? Maybe my treadmill is at a max incline and I don't want to walk at 4 miles an hour. That's an uncomfortable gait. So I can't make the incline any higher. I'll put on a weighted vest. I think that that's a totally realistic time to use it. It's like, hey, I'm going to incline walk and I'm going to incline walk at an incline and a pace that is comfortable for me, but I still want it to be harder. You can throw on a weighted vest. If I lived in a hilly neighborhood that with a vest, just walking around up and down the hills became a notable cardio stimulus, I'm kind of down with that, right? Like hiking, if I'm hiking in places that I don't want to do a trail run, like if I'm hiking with a friend or, you know, if I'm by myself and this is just not a trail I want to run, but I want to make it harder, I think this is a fine reason to use it. If I live in a hilly neighborhood, there was, Jenna and I were house hunting right now, which is the worst thing in the history of the planet, but if we buy a house in a very hilly neighborhood, right now where I live is very flat. I'm going for my runs. I love it. It's super flat. But if we live in a really hilly neighborhood, I think you just kind of go for a walk and you're like, well, it's kind of hard, but I don't really want to run all up these hills as much, which by the way, is still great for you. Maybe you throw on a weighted vest and all of a sudden that becomes a decent cardio stimulus. Essentially, I'd wear a weighted vest in scenarios where I want to work harder, but I want to keep a normal walking gait, right? Where I want to challenge myself more, but for one reason or another, I don't want to go from walking to jogging, right? I personally would rather run, sprint, skip, jump to make my cardio harder versus adding a weighted vest. And I personally think there's a benefit to doing that over a weighted vest. I think running, sprinting, skipping, jumping, likely from a plyometric standpoint is going to be better than just adding weight to a walk. But again, like I just said, there's times where I might go for a weighted vest if I'm at a max incline or if I'm in a hilly neighborhood or going for a hike or something like that. I think the weight loss and bone mineral density benefits from chronic use, again, I think they're intriguing. I'll just wear it when I walk my dog probably isn't doing anything tangible. But again, like it's fine if you know that. If you know, hey, this isn't doing much, but it's not costing me anything, no problem. Everything is about managing your expectation. So if you are wearing a weighted vest and you go out for a walk and you're like, hey, it's making my walk a tiny bit harder. And if I do this every day, maybe there's a tiny bit of benefit. And guess what? It costs me nothing because I was going to go for this walk anyway. Then awesome. No problem at all. Would I say that the weighted vest is overrated? If you just wear them on your walks, absolutely overrated. If you're wearing them chronically, I'd say underrated. I think the weight loss and bone mineral density stuff is really cool. If that was a really important thing for you, if you are postmenopausal, if you have osteoporosis, osteopenia, if that's something that your family members have struggled with, And wearing a weighted vest is, you know, you can make it into a thing that isn't inconvenient. I think that wearing it for, you know, 6 to 10 hours per day is meaningfully additive. It's a pain in the butt, and you can also kind of just lift weights and maybe do some plyo balance work, and you can probably be fine or get a really robust stimulus doing it that way. But if you look me in the face and say, yeah, I'm going to do that stuff, and I'm going to wear the weighted vest, is that better? Probably. So I'd say chronically, it's probably underrated if you can get around the practical annoyance of wearing it for many, many hours per day. Now, I'm going to close up here. If I missed a context that you use it in and you're curious about it, or you've heard others use it, and you have a question, or you just want to share your experience with a weighted vest, shoot me a DM. I'd love to chat about it. You know, I was going to complete a section on rucking. I know rucking is, I should not have mentioned it just now. Rucking is just like, is basically going out for walks and hikes with weight, right? So that's essentially what we're talking about here. You know what? I shouldn't even have mentioned it. Again, in my list of scenarios where I might consider using a weighted vest, living in a hilly neighborhood where I don't want to run, but I want to make it harder, going for a hike, but I don't want to run, but I want to make it harder, walking on an incline where I don't want to run, maybe can't put the incline up any higher, but I want to make it harder. I think adding load in a weighted vest scenario, that makes enough sense where it's worth considering in that context. Otherwise, I'd say the biggest benefit is when you wear it chronically for many hours per day. Cool. All right, guys, 51 minutes, everything you need to know about a weighted vest. If I missed something, you have your own experience you want to share, shoot me a DM and we'll chat about it.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Where Optimal Meets Practical. If you liked the episode, it would mean the world to me if you posted a screenshot to your social media or left a 5-star review on iTunes. That stuff really helps. If you ever want to get in touch with me, just shoot me a DM on Instagram @JordanLipsFitness. I'm always around to chat. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.